singing and a good time in the Lord, and I bless the Lord for how good God's been and what he's done, what he's doing. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, in chapter number 6, Luke chapter number 6, you find the place and you're able to stand. We'll be looking there in chapter 6, and we'll be noticing, if you will, please, in verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. Then I want you to look about verse 22. And blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. And behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto them, woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. And woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. And woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn. And woe unto you that when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers of the false prophets. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there's none else. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Be with these special requests and prayer that we've mentioned, and we'll thank you, Lord, for taking care of that in advance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, in this lesson here that we're looking at, I'm preaching a sermon that I preached 11 years ago. 11 years ago. You're going to think that when you're listening to it, and the reason I'm telling you that is because that when you're listening, I didn't have in mind of our recent exits that have taken place, because this is a sermon that was preached 11 years ago. Back in 2013, in the lesson I want to preach on, you've been replaced by another two-face. Now, I'm not on Facebook. I've never been on Facebook. I appreciate all of you that are on Facebook. I've gotten a lot of great gossip right out of you Facebookers, so I'm not beating you up about that. But you ever notice when I get a little ticked at you, delete, you'll be defriended and not going to be from now on. Well, go ahead and delete me. I didn't even know I was on there to start out with. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, that's the reason why I'm telling you, this is a sermon that I preached back in March of 2013. But you're going to think that I put it all together right now. That's just the way the Word of the Lord is. If you're on the right side of what God said, you can shout amen. If you're on the wrong side of what God said, see? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out they'd already been in an all-night prayer meeting. Isn't that something how that we opened up with them? I mean, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and here's some disciples, and they've been in all night praying out there and talking unto God the Father and so forth and on. And I want to say to you that, if you will, is that there's only two kinds of people that show up, according to verse number 16. Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which was the traitor. After an all-night prayer meeting, the only two people that show up, two Judases. One of them's the brother of James, the other one, Judas Iscariot, the traitor. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that here's a multitude at verse number 19, and they've come together and they'd like to be able to have the touch of God. Hey, that's a good idea, isn't it? I can tell you right now, if you're a little draggy and don't know which way to go next, I can tell you what you need is that you come to the house of God and you come to the altar of God and you come beseeching God to touch you. What we all need is a good touch from God. In the lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to be able to find out is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except by him. Now, the Bible said that, if you will, please, is that in this lesson over in the book of 1 John chapter number 2, at about verse number 19. And by the way, they had the perfect preacher. The Lord Jesus Christ never made an error. And yet you'll find that he had them leaving him. In droves sometime. He preached one sermon, if you read up there in St. John, and lost 5,000 at one time. It wasn't a revival meeting. It wasn't a series. I mean, one message that he preached, and he lost 5,000. Over in the book of 1 John chapter number 2, don't turn there, in verse number 19, the Bible said, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have no doubt remained until this day. And so as you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and know that, hey, what we need, number one, is the blessing of God. This Bible said is that when men hate you, just make sure you're walking right and doing right and spitting wine. And let me say to you that if you'll walk with God, you better expect some enemies, because there are going to be some. In the day and hour where we're living in, you're going to find out that it's sad that the president, former president, we don't have a president. We've proven in the last several years that we can operate pretty good without a president. But it's shame, isn't it, in the day and hour we're living in, that we're such a divided country and all of that business there. I mean, you ain't got to go to another country now to be able to evangelize them. They're already here and all that business there. And your life's in jeopardy every hour. Your daughters are in jeopardy of being pillaged and raped and this and that. Your sons are being murdered. Let me just tell you right now, it's a crazy bunch. It's a crazy bunch of demonic people that we're having to deal with. And some of them are native born right in here. Now, you know what ends up happening, don't you? Let me tell you, the world is not a separator. It's a mixture. God's a separator. He'd like you to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto myself. Don't turn there, but over in the book of Psalm chapter 106, you're going to find here's what happened was, is that instead of them destroying the enemies that God sent them to destroy, they got to where they mixed and they mingled and began to learn their ways. And then it wasn't long until of being able to learn their works and learn their religion, begin to serve their idols, and as a result of it, they sacrificed their own sons and their own daughters unto devils, and it was detrimental unto them. Now, let me just tell you right now, if you mix and mingle with the world, it's going to get on you. It's just that simple. It's always been that way. It's that way tonight. It'll be that way tomorrow. And I want to tell you something. The Bible said that when the world, the mingled world, begin to separate you from their company, the Bible said we're ambassadors for Christ. And you and I are to be witnesses for him and to be in his stead and tell people what Jesus said. And we're there as his representative when we're talking to people about being saved by the grace of God. Now, I want to tell you something, is that you're going to find out that there's some things that God hates, and one of them is man-made religion. Now, in the day we live in, I know that people don't want to, oh, you know, you ought not to say anything about somebody else's religion. There's only two kinds of religion, and that's true and false religion. If what you got's not true, it's false. If what you got's not of God, it's of the devil. It's that simple, very simple. How do you test that by the blessed word of the Lord? Why do you think over there in the Bible, whenever God said, come and let us reason together? You know, that's a statement of explanation. Why do you feel the way you feel? Why do you think the way you think? Let me tell you something, is that there ought to be a motive, and there ought to be a motive for God. But you know, whenever you try to reason with people and they want a one-sided argument, I can't tell you how many times in life that people said, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, and I'd say, don't do it, sister. You can't spare it. Boy, that's wrong to say that. If you ever get married, never tell your wife that. But there's some reason or another. You know, when God said, come, let us reason together, that's you telling God why you're thinking and what you're feeling. And it's God and his word telling you what will fix it for you. But when you walk up and just want to give God a piece of your mind, and then you start them off, and I don't want to hear what you've got to say. That's a one-sided conversation. And what happens is that you're going to find out that as a result of that, they're never going to determine what's right and what's wrong. These are people that really don't care one way or the other. Is that in this lesson that you're looking at, why do you think that after an all-night prayer meeting, we come out with a Judas that's a brother James, and another one that's an Iscariot, that's a traitor, that's a killer, and that's trying to be able to sell the Lord Jesus Christ down the river, if you please? that when you try to reason with God, here's what you're doing. You're trying to weigh what God is saying, what God is thinking, and the mind of Christ. You're trying to weigh that with the way you feel and the way you live and the way you practice. The Bible said that whenever you and I come out from among the world and be separate, that we're doing it that we might be His representative. And let me tell you right now, is that when you get to where you don't want to reason with God, friend, you're in bad shape. Now, I realize at all that you may not like, people may not like some of you. I understand that. I can't understand anybody not liking me. I don't care who you are, where you hail from, so forth and all. If you stand with what God said, somebody who's a rebel against God ain't going to like it. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, what is it makes people refuse such reasoning that God has invited us for? What is it makes them refuse that? Well, over in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and you ain't got to turn there, but in about verse number 2, you're going to find out they were busy teaching lies for their doctrine. And what ends up happening, it finally sears your conscience. It gets you to where that nothing bothers you anymore from God. I can remember years ago, a fellow that's now an evangelist, and he went into evangelism and all that business there. And so he said, you know, preacher, I just got to where my congregation wasn't listening anymore. I've been preaching for 50 years, and most of the time they don't listen. I remember one time we had a man here that came because he was burdened about the deaf ministry. I said, I am too. I've been preaching to them for all these years now, and they're not hearing yet. Now, I don't mean that to be, you know, foolish, and I don't mean it to be comical, but it is kind of comical and this and that. But I just said all that to be able to tell you this, is that what makes people get to where they just don't want to hear what God said? Seared conscience. Seared conscience. In this lesson you're looking at, look in Luke chapter number 6 there, and I want you to look at about verse number 11. Here's another thing that'll do it. He says, and they were filled with madness, talking about the Lord. Boy, I want to tell you something. Jesus in verse number 9 said one thing. I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or do evil, save life or to destroy it? He stretched forth his hand to a man and restored him whole as the other. Verse 11, and they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Now, here's the reason why they were mad at him, because he had healed a man and restored his arm on the Sabbath day. I want to tell you, the Lord can do things on the Sabbath day that He may command you and I. We can't, but it's not going to be that. He said it's not wrong to do good and to restore life and health and live. Is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath day? He asked that. Of course, you know, they didn't care what He knew and how He could refute them one way or the other. In this day we're living in, people are looking for some kind of accusation that they might hurl against Him. And I want to tell you something, is that you may think you've come up with something pretty snazzy. And don't belittle yourself if somebody comes up with an argument that you can't answer. Just realize, though, that whatever God said is settled in heaven. And it matters not if they believe it or don't believe it. It's a settled matter in heaven. It's already been settled. Now, I want to say to you, as you begin to look into it, here's what the modernists will do. The modernist says that Jesus came and sat and ate with sinners. Well, He did do that. But He also commanded that they repent and believe the gospel. You don't find the modernist trying to teach that, see. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find the reason why that we separate from sinners is because of contamination. If you're around it long enough, it's going to contaminate you. If you dibble and dabble in sin long enough, it's going to flood your heart, flood your soul, flood your mind, going to contaminate you. Right. Not only that, but you're going to find out we separate because of the fact that it ought to bring conviction upon them. And then let me say to you that, if you will, is that there's a separation because they refuse to receive the condemnation. The Bible said, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Man's born condemned without God. And when he comes to Christ as an empty-handed beggar, he can be washed by the blood and cleansed from their sin. Notice another thing that, if you will, is that whenever you've got folks that whether they never come to know the Lord or they rebel against the Lord, it don't make any difference. When you get away from God, here's what ends up happening. You don't want anybody else knowing that's right with God what you're doing behind the scenes. See, I have to pick up, and I know you feel sorry for me. I don't use Facebook. And so as a result, I have to get mine secondhand from you. And so anyhow, somebody said, well, you know, I don't like to gossip around. When I preach about gossiping and this and that and so forth and on and that, I don't mean you good gossipers. But I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that if you've got somebody that refuses the conviction from God and refuses to get it straightened up with God, you're going to get removed from Facebook. Another two-faced person is going to be taking your place. And by the way, and I just want to say to you that, if you will, it don't make any difference to me what you do, and I don't care one way or the other. But, you know, if you're going to yoke up with a bunch of beer drinking, dope smoking, honky-tonking, if you're going to be identified with that, that's probably where your real heart's at. I don't mean that ugly, but I do mean it. I know it sounds ugly. And you know, here's the deal right here. Nobody's going to ban me from Facebook. What I'm wondering is, who can ban most of us and you still befriend them? See what I'm talking about? I got to say to you that, if you will, that first time anybody ever looked me up, they didn't find nothing, but I found out things that I didn't know about myself. You see, in this lesson here, they come out from among us and they didn't remain with us because they really weren't all of us. And do you know that the Bible says, and over there, that when you go to casting pearls before swine, you can expect to hear some squealing going on. I'm looking out here across the country right here, right now, and I can't remember anybody here in this building here tonight that's ever took time to come Sunday afternoon or come any time and, preacher, we got a problem. I always like it when they start out, we got a problem. Really? Yeah. I got to tell you right now, his problem's going to be on your end. We can get it fixed if you want to, and if you don't want to, then far be it from me to interfere with your misery. See? It's awful quiet, but that's all right. I mean, I've already been banned from Facebook more than once. You know, over there in the book of Matthew, there's a passage there. You can just listen to it if you like, but it's in chapter number 7, and I want you to watch it about verse number 6. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, look in verse 6, and here's what he says. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again to rend you. Now, I want you to watch it. Is that holiness means nothing to a dog. And we're talking about a religious person. Holiness means nothing to a dog. I can tell you this, is that pearls mean nothing to a swine. That's what it says. And let me tell you right now, is that whenever you begin to look into it, they have no regard for truth. Instead, their interest is trampling truth underneath their feet. And I got to tell you right now is, and the Bible said, then they'll turn to rend you. You ever start out with somebody, you know, you thought was just walking in fellowship, walking in harmony, and the next thing you know is, buddy, you're meeting them in hostility. Do you know why it's that way? I'll tell you why. It's because holiness means nothing to a dog. If I sit down with you and go to giving you something out of the word of the Lord, and you go to squealing and howling and barking, you're fixing to meet somebody that you're kin to in the animal kingdom. which is holy, give it not to dogs and swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again to rend you. I want to say that one of these days is that the trampling is going to change. You ever take a dog and try to, I use this illustration, try to hold one down. Let's say he's got a tick. Let's say he's got a couple of three ticks on his eye, ear, or whatever, and you're trying to, have you ever noticed how they fight and squeal and howl and bark? And I can tell you right now, if you've got that many dog ticks on your dog's ear, you need to get something to try to help him out with. I mean, you want to show up on TV one of these days with them animal rights activists? See what I'm saying? I know some of you have never. I've got a film that Brother David sent me way back under when old Brother Nathan, he was just one like these one of these young men. And they had some hogs in a trap. And buddy, he was in there, and he grabbed by the hind legs there. And boy, I'm going to tell you, once he finally latched on, you know, you talk about screaming. That pig was screaming and howling. And first time I ever saw Brother Jack Thrift over in Louisiana, and it was a pretty good-sized hog, and that dude was screaming. And you could tell by Brother Jack that it looked like he thought the thing was demon-possessed. I just want to say to you that until you can have that experience, then you'll not understand what God's talking about. When you get somebody that's rebelled against God and the Bible and good, right, moral, and decent, but they got that wild look and that shrill scream, and the reason being is a dog doesn't care nothing about holiness, and a hog cares nothing about pearls. Do you realize that, oh, the Church of the Living God is termed as a pearl of great price in the sight of the Lord? And let me say to you that, if you will, as we get ready to close here, in the day and hour of which that we're living in, is that you're going to find out that the world would like to trample us underfoot, but that's not going to happen. One of these days, God's going to trample them underfoot that have rebelled against Him, that have said no to God, that have said no to the blessed word of the Lord. In the day and hour we live in, it's hard to find people anymore that really and truly care something about God and the Bible. I don't want to say nothing about Him in the open here because He's in Tennessee and all that. But now every time it pops up on there, you know, there's an evangelist that's dear to my heart. I think he's one of the greatest preachers there was in the world. And since he went to selling wigs and all that mess there, he looks like a clown. And he's pastor of some church up there in Tennessee. And every time I see him, I mean, I couldn't sit and listen to him long, because I'd be chuckling the whole time. And then he'd be chewing me out for chuckling. Well, I can't help it. You're going to have to take that rug off your head. I know I'd probably look a whole lot better if I had one. But I want to tell you something. After being in an all-night prayer meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, there wasn't but two that's mentioned after that, and one of them was the devil. We ought to have a better record than that. But do you think we're going to have a better record than the Lord Jesus had? I dare not say that we will. I don't think so. I was talking to Brother Luther here right before church. He goes after them killer bees and gets that honey and all that. I said, man, I know what you're thinking. Have they killed him? No, it's him sitting right here. I said, do they ever sting you? Sometimes, you know, whenever that mask gets a little close, they'll reach through it and get you. Well, I'm glad that they're not lethal. I'm glad at least he's still here with me. And I'm glad that he's given me a jar or two, and days gone by, and I'm glad it tastes mighty fine. It tastes mighty good. I do know that every now and again, whenever I eat some of that killer bee, African bee, that killer bee honey, that sometimes, you know, I'm tempted to wear my underwear on my head and howl at the moon for a while, but it's good on a buttered biscuit. that you'll have good days ahead, but God's still on the throne, even if you've been replaced by another two-face. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. Bless your word to every heart. We thank you, thou art God. Beside thee, there is none else. And we pray that now you'd move upon us, within us, go with us to our home. Watch over us as we travel. Be with those that we've mentioned that are sick. May you restore their health. In Jesus' name, we pray.